And going into the book of Matthew, we're in the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when we come into these moments, when we gather around your word, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we can read it, that we can hold it in our hands, and we can put it on our hearts. Thank you for your spirit that flows from each and every one of us, illuminating this word. And Heavenly Father, I pray as we gather around it this morning that your message be preached, that your will be discerned, and that your encouragement be given, sending us out of this boat and into the waters of life. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. So it wasn't the news you were expecting to hear this morning when you came to church. Nobody likes getting bad news. You know, there's no easy way. I wish there was some sort of a honey that you could cover over it and make it sweet. But, you know, you just can't do it. It's like taking the most rancid piece of meat and trying to make it work, but it just doesn't. So there's really no other easy way to gloss over it. We don't like it. We don't like it not because it was bad news. We don't like it because we don't like change. We as humans will resist change even to the point of our own demise. We will sit there and say, "The hurricane ain't gonna come and hit me," and then call 911 in the middle of the storm and say, "Come get me." The weather forecaster was right. Because you see, change is loss, and loss is change. Think about that for a second. Anytime you go through change in your life, it is a loss, regardless of whether you want that change or not. If you say, "Man, I really, really want to win the lottery." How many of you didn't win? No, I'm not going to show of hands. I don't play, so I can say honestly, they didn't pull my numbers. But if you think about it, that it would be a great thing to come into millions of dollars of unexpected wealth, but think about all of the burdens that that brings along with it. So there is a change. Even though you think it's a good change, it is going to be a bad change. And there is the grieving process that goes along with it. I am a firm believer in that. I am a firm believer that as we go through our lives, that every time we encounter change, that there is a grieving process. Regardless of whether it's good or bad, we will deny, we will bargain, we will be angry, we will come to acceptance. There are all those stages of grief, and they don't follow a clear pattern. They look like a bunch of spaghetti thrown against the wall. Or that game Candyland. Remember that game Candyland or Chutes and Ladders? You know, if you want to know what the stages of grief look like, it looks like that. So when I read this passage about Joseph and getting this beautiful coat from his father, and hearing how his brothers treated him. We all know the story, right? How many of you have seen Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? You know, that Broadway musical to help us understand Scripture, even though it kind of takes some artistic license or how did artistic licenses or artistic licenses. But we know this story that Joseph was this young son who was highly favored by his father because he was the son that was born in his father's old age, and his father loved him so much that he made this coat and gave him this present that his brothers didn't get. How many of you have siblings? And when I can tell you, we got Anna her first cell phone yesterday or 2 days ago. And needless to say, there was a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth by Robbie. Because we said, you need to wait a couple of years before you get your cell phone. But, you know, Anna has made that transition from elementary to junior high. Please pray for me. But I could see that. And I could see, you know, how in having an older sister and an older half-brother, or older stepbrother, actually, I understand this sibling rivalry that goes on. So I can read this passage about Joseph and know how here Jacob brings him this beautiful coat and all the other siblings are like, whoa. Change is loss and loss is change. They were the olders. They should have been the ones to get all the good stuff. And here is the younger getting this beautiful coat. And we know the story. They sell his brother. First, they throw him into a pit, and then they sell him into slavery. And then a couple of years, you know, that whole thing. You know, what goes around comes around, the law of reciprocity. You know, they go and have to go begging for food, and lo and behold, they come into the presence of their brother that they sold into slavery, who now holds the keys to the kingdom. And they're having to go, my bad. How many of you have ever done that with your older siblings? You know, you get to an age, I know I did with my older sister, where I had to apologize to her for shooting her with a BB gun and saying, I'm really sorry I did that. And we kind of chalked it up to just growing up, you know, that there were times when I didn't like her because I felt she was getting the favor, and she didn't like me because she thought I was getting the favor, and it went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But what's beautiful about this story and Joseph in this coat is that even though he puts on this coat and he has all of these bad things happen to him, he doesn't take his focus off the one thing that is the most important, and that is his faith in God. And God rewards that to an even greater measure than he ever had before he even put on that coat. Think about that for a second. And he didn't even have that coat. Think about that. You know, the coat was probably lost. You know, he went on. He was wearing other garments when all this happened. And here he is in this position of power. And what does he do? He could have had his brothers and family thrown into jail. He could have had them even worse. And what does he do? He loves them and welcomes them and takes care of them. Wow. Not only do we have an example of just how much God loves us, we have an example of just how much God forgives us. Wow. Then we get to Peter. I love the story about Peter because it reminds me of another story about somebody who took a boat ride, because it happens to have my favorite word in the Bible. You know that story about that guy named Jonah? You know, he goes on a three-hour tour. And he doesn't go where God wants him to go. The storms rise up and they throw him out of the boat and he gets swallowed up by a fish. And we dumb it down. The Hebrew word for what the fish did to Jonah is not spit. It's vomit. I love that word. Because the fish vomited Jonah out. And then Jonah went on and did what God told him to do. And guess what? He was shown favor by the king, and he did not condemn. I love this kind of cyclical story here. And we get to Peter, and you know, this story, Jesus is done, and he tells his disciples, well, you know, and I wonder if any of them figured it out. You want us to get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake, but you ain't coming with us. How are you getting there? How many of you ever done that? When somebody says, hey, you just go on ahead, but you don't have a car. How are you going to get there? I would have been one of those disciples that have been, hey, Jesus, We got extra room in the boat. And if they knew who they were, you know, if I think they knew his divinity by then, you know, I'd be like, hey, that's travel insurance right there. If I put Jesus in the boat with me, then things are going to be going good. So I'm going to have what I need. So they get in the boat and they're going across the water, and Jesus goes up on the mountain and praying. And I love this juxtaposition that Jesus is praying and they're fighting a big storm. Was that what Jesus was praying for? What was, you know, what was going on? I mean, these are questions that I ask, not that I can answer them, but but then they get in this storm and Jesus goes walking on the water. Now think about this for a second. How many of you have ever been in a boat out on a lake or out on the ocean when there's a big storm that comes up? The last thing you would expect to see is somebody walking on the water. If I saw somebody walking on the water to me when I was on a boat, I'd be wondering what was in the drink that I drank. I'd be wondering what's going on. Maybe there was some of that stuff wasn't so fresh that I ate. You know, I got something's going on here. And so he goes out there, and the disciples think that it's a ghost. And I love this, you know, the term ghost and angel in the Bible kind of get used a bit, intermingled. Because when people see an angel, they think that it's a ghost. And what does angels always say? You know, it's like if an angel were to walk into the sanctuary right now, I would probably, you know, I could tell you exactly what they would say after we were all going, They would say, do not be afraid. So, wow. So Jesus goes out and they say, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. And then Peter challenges Jesus. If that's really you, then tell me to get out of this boat and walk on the water. I don't think I would be doing that if I thought I was seeing a ghost. But Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water and he realizes that the winds and the waves are still there. And then, you know, he starts sinking and he goes, Jesus, help me. And I wonder if Jesus let him go under the water. How many of you taught a kid how to swim? You know, I got one that has no fear of water and he'll jump in and he's a sinker, not a floater. And you wonder, how long do you let him stay down there to teach him to don't jump into the water? But he says, Jesus, help me. And Jesus reaches down and grabs Peter and pulls him up, gets him into the boat. And basically says, why do you not have faith? And then the storm ceases. Not the only time this happens. And the disciples are like, truly he is the Son of God. I love this ending to this pericope because it almost says that the only way we will believe that Jesus is the Son of God is when he quiets the storms. We won't believe that he's the Son of God when he's walking on the water in the middle of a storm. We'll challenge him. If you really are the Son of God, you will tell me to get out of this boat and I'll come walking to you. Rather than saying, hey, Jesus, get in the boat. Can you make this storm go away? But we'll sit there and we'll shout Jesus and we'll say hallelujah and amen when everything is going the way we want it to go. But when we are in the storms of life, what's the only thing that we're doing? We're sitting there drowning in the water going, Jesus, help me. Instead of, you know, I know that you are the Son of God and I'm going to put my faith in you because that's what helps me walk on the water. Because I'm a firm believer that either you get thrown out or you get out, but either way, you got to get out of the boat. Think about that for a second. Either you get thrown out or you get out, but either way, you got to get out of the boat. If there's a message in these scripture passages today, it is a reminder to us that we are not to be in the places where we are most comfortable to do God's most amazing work. Think about that for a second. Joseph could not have done what he did if he did not get sold into slavery. Peter could not have done what he did if he did not get out of the boat. Jonah could not have done what he did unless they threw him out of the boat. But either way, you're going to get out of the boat. That's what we should be focused on today. We should be focused on not trying to stay in relative comfort with who we are. We say, man, I got it really good here. I got my own pew here at First Pres in New Smyrna Beach. It's got my butt print right into the cushion. It's there every Sunday. It conforms right to the circumference. Sometimes it changes from time to time. I got my own parking spot out in the parking lot. I got my own little circle of friends. I got all this. Life is good. I am comfortable. Everything is great. I don't need to get out of the boat. Well, guess what? You either get out of the boat or you get thrown out of the boat. But either way, you're going to get out of the boat. So if you want to really figure out what to do, you might want to think about getting out of the boat. Because getting thrown out of the boat means you get swallowed by a fish and you get vomited out. But getting out of the boat means you can try walking on the water. But if you lose your focus, all you have to do is cry out to Jesus, and Jesus will pick you back up and put you back into the boat so you get another opportunity to get out of the boat and start walking on the water. Think about that for a second. Think about how awesome that is to know that God tells us in His Word that we can get out of our boat and walk on water. Now, I'm not saying, you know, for those of you that have boats, I know I got somebody up there in the balcony that I know has got a boat. I'm not calling out any names. You know, I mean, I float, so I'm pretty close to being able to walk on water. But I don't. I can't. That's why I learned how to scuba dive. But proverbially and figuratively, metaphorically, all those fancy words you can throw on there is that we are called by God to get out of the boat. We are called by God to say, you know I'm comfortable here, but I also know that I need to get out of the boat in order to do what you want me to do. And I am going to step out in faith because I know that if I start sinking, you're going to grab me out of the waters and put me back into the safety of the boat, calm the storm, and give me another opportunity to get out. Think about that. How many times in your life have you gotten out of the boat, sank, and got back in the boat and sat there and said, all right, I'm going to get out of the boat again? You know, that's that whole change is loss, loss is change. We go through those changes in our lives when we have to get out of the boat or we get thrown out of the boat, but we have to go and we have to do new things. We have to go where God tells us to go. We don't want to go because we know that it's hot out there this time of year. A couple days ago, it was rainy out there. You know, pretty soon it's going to be cold and windy out there. We don't want to go out there. We've got air conditioning in here. This is comfortable. But guess what? God calls us to go out there. God calls us to get up from where we are the most comfortable and to go where we are uncomfortable and go out there and spread His Word to everybody that we meet. We go out there and we put on this beautiful coat, which is called the grace and peace of Almighty God. This beautiful coat that says we are beloved and we're going to go out and share them. This beautiful coat that shows that we have favor from God. And we go out there and the world's not going to like it. But guess what? We are called to take that coat off and put it on them. Or when they're sinking, we're called to reach down and pull them up out of the water. When they're in the storms of life, we're called to say, peace, be still. Jesus tells us to go, and we can do everything that He can do, because if He tells us we can do it, well, I bet you we can do it. Amen? His Word tells us that that's what we are to go do. So as you look at these Scripture passages, in the context of everything that's going on, I want you to think about this. Forget about the storm. Forget about the storm of all the stuff that is swirling around and saying, well, now we have to do this, and what about that, and when is this going to happen, and where are we going to go, and what's going to happen? All these questions that are swirling around in your head, and I want you to think about, just get out of the boat. Walk on the water, because you can. Get out of the boat and go do what Jesus has called you to do. Come to me. Isn't that what that scripture says? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, go to them and share the good news, proclaiming the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always. Why are we so afraid? Why are we so afraid to get out of the boat? So that's what we should be focused on. Don't worry about the storm because Jesus got that covered. worry about getting out of the boat and walking on the water. So I want you to do this. I'm going to leave this image with you. I want you to think about God has come to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Think about this for a second. This is the image. You know, as I'm walking up on Lookout Mountain, I had three kids in tow. One of them mine, two of them not. You know, one of them was the child of a lieutenant colonel. Actually, two of them are children of lieutenant colonels. So I really had, if you know military speak, I'm only a captain. And both of them are soon to be promoted to colonel. So there was a lot of pressure to get these kids back down from Lookout Mountain. I'll tell you that. But I'm walking up the mountain, and the only thing I'm thinking about is, what am I going to come in and preach? What am I going to come in and preach? And what am I going to come in preach? And what am I going to come in and preach? And then it hit me. It's communion. You know, God had to remind me that it was communion. We didn't have communion on the first Sunday because of VBS. We have communion today. You know, I love how God works in the circumstances to set things up. Because this communion that we partake today, I want you to have this image in your head. One, I want you to have the image that when you come to the table, you come knowing that there is nothing that you can bring that allows you to be here. You have nothing in your possession that gives you any more merit than anybody else to come to the table. But when you come to the table, the Father meets you here, and he puts on this beautiful coat. Think about that. I want you to have that image as you come to the table this morning. Because that's the image that's going through my head, that you come to the table and I get this beautiful coat, which is the grace and peace and the love and all that is good about God, this coat of many colors that represents the entire body of Christ, clothing me, the communion of the saints, all the imagery swirling around, I'm putting on this beautiful coat. Then as you put that coat on and you partake in communion, you know, when the disciples had communion with Christ after the resurrection, they didn't know who he was. But when they had communion with him, their eyes were opened and they saw Christ. So as you partake of communion, I want you to have that image of being in a boat racked around with high winds and heavy seas. And when you come to the communion table, know that Jesus is walking on the water to you. And he calls you to get out of the boat. So as you partake of communion this morning, you put on your coat and you get out of the boat and you go and walk on the water. Do you think we can do that? I know we can do that because it's written in that book right there over and over and over and over again. Don't be afraid of all the storms that are out there. Just come to the table, put on the coat, and get out of the boat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and sing our hymn number 693, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Rock and a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock.